online at StefanosLV.com. Stefanos, since 1998. Real food, real fast, real healthy.
The Raiders face off with Tom Brady and the Bucs under the primetime lights. Listen Sunday with kickoff at 5:15 on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Trouble in Raider Nation on this afternoon. We'll get to the news in a moment. You're listening to the Silver and Black Today, powered by our friends Sam and Ash. Call them anytime. They're the injury attorneys. These folks care about you. They're good people. You need to give them a call if you need some help. 702-820-1234 is the name. And if you haven't heard yet, today Trent Brown sent home for COVID protocol, as were the entire offensive line of the Las Vegas Raiders, plus starting safety Jonathan Abram. That's right. Jonathan Abram was around Trent Brown yesterday. I guess they were hanging out. And as a precaution, as the protocol in the NFL calls for COVID, they were all sent home today. We don't know if there were positive tests or if because of contact tracing. We know with the offensive line, that's why. But we don't know for sure. We talked to Coach John Gruden earlier. We'll hear from him in a minute. But my co-host Q Myers now joins me. And Q, this is one of those scenarios we knew could happen. And it appears, at least at this moment, we don't want to jump to conclusions and say it's a disaster because we don't know. But certainly not good as the Raiders prepare for one of their biggest games of the season.
No, I mean, it's a disaster on Wednesday.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you said, we don't know the end results, but it's a disaster as of right now. And it kind of goes back to that old saying that you hear all the times. That's just why you can't have nice things. You know what I mean? It just right when everything starts to feel good and look good and you think it is good, well, then you realize that, well, something's going to come up and bite you. And it just seems like this all of a sudden is jumping up and biting the Raiders. And at the terrible worst, I don't think there's any time for COVID-19 to bounce up and hit anybody, right, and take out a whole offensive line for at least a day. But man, this really was not the good time for it. So yeah, it's not too good, man. It's kind of doom and gloom right now, as far as I'm concerned.
It is, and we're gonna explore some of the scenarios here and talk a little bit about this, because I think there's some malice being thrown around at Trent Brown when we don't know the facts. Everybody's using this as another reason to pile on top of Trent Brown, because we all had our doubts about his love for the game and the desire to get back after the injury took forever. Okay, and I understand that, but with COVID, you don't know what happened. You don't know. Right. It could have been a trainer in the Raiders facility that was positive, and Trent Brown was around him. So you don't know. So before the cesspool gets all heated up and the waves start moving, check yourself and wait for some facts. We don't know the facts yet. I know we all want to know, but you don't know yet, so chill. That's all I'm saying, but we're going to talk about that. Also on the show, Hikaru Kodo of Sports Illustrated Raiders Maven will join us. We'll get his reaction to it. He also has a piece up about why the game was so big for the Raiders, and now that takes on even more significance with the news today and some unknowns, as well as Greg Aumann, our friend from The Athletic in Tampa Bay. When we did the training camp tours back in August, he joined us. Now he'll bring us forward into where the Buccaneers are now. There's a lot of talk about them and this defense and what they've done, so we're going to deep dive on that a little bit. Of course, the Q-tip, and then we'll get the end of the show news, our latest from Vinny Bonsignor, of course, who hosts In the Huddle at 4 p.m. here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll get the news from him. But, Q, there's a possibility. I mean, I was just talking about with JT the Brick on his way out of the studio that, if these guys have to be quarantined for what we have gathered from looking at the protocol, is if the test was positive yesterday, whoever it was that tested positive, which we're assuming at this time, okay? I just want to make that clear. If it was yesterday, that means they could go up to, if they test negative, then in essence they'd have to wait 5 days, which happens to be Sunday.
Right.
So technically, if any of those linemen or Jonathan Abram test negative over the next 3 days, then they're eligible to play after on the fifth day. Okay, so that would be Sunday. Now it's cutting it close. Clearly, if a player tests positive, then they're going to be out. So that begs the question: if that's the case, if you have in essence six starters out for right now because of COVID, does the NFL perhaps move the big Sunday night game, like they've done the last few weeks with Tennessee and the Patriots? Do they perhaps move Sunday night's game to Monday or Tuesday to allow for that time if those players test negative? That's something we got to start looking at.
Right, it is something, and it's, you know, we'll see how it shakes out and see if that is the case. You know, if they don't test positive, then that's a good thing. But I'll tell you, I hope the NFL were to postpone it. I'm honestly hoping that the game gets postponed at this point, because I feel like one way or the other, the Raiders aren't going to be there full strength. And I believe that the Raiders need to get out there and play full strength, especially against a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. But I get it, man. It's a COVID-19 year, and this is just what you got to deal with, man. Every single week, something crazy like this could happen out of nowhere, and all of a sudden your team looks a whole lot different than it did the week before.
Well, and again, I want to go back to it, and maybe it's just me. You tell me, Q, because we're always up front and frank with another. I just think, though, there's other people jumping on Trent Brown. You don't know that he did something or didn't do something. Well, I saw pictures of him in Instagram. He's not wearing a mask. How do you know when that picture was taken? I mean, I went to his Instagram actually after the news broke, and I saw pictures of him posted that were from like August and September, right? From completely different time frames. A lot of people do that, especially these guys who have their own quote unquote brands, and they have agents and they have people who help them with their social media. The pictures you see don't necessarily mean they were taken in the bye week or the last few days. So I just think everybody's quick to jump. When Damon Arnett went on the COVID list, I saw, oh man, I hope he's okay. Best to him, man. Get healthy. Trent Brown pops, and it's like, oh, here we go again. Cut this guy.
Well, that's why.
Yeah.
Because it's been, you know, start and stop. I mean, the guy played three snaps and then was out. And then all of a sudden he comes back last time he played against Kansas City, the real game that he played, the whole game. And you're thinking, man, that's the reason why the Raiders went and got him. Dude's a stud. And then it's just a big letdown. Like, when I got the news, I slammed my hand on the table. I was like, damn it, not again. But at the same time, I mean, I did.
I get you.
I was on ESPN Central Texas when that happened.
Yeah.
And I was angry, but I was angry because he's such a good player and the Raiders really need him out there. And obviously, everyone cares about his health and wants him to be healthy. But I think everyone realizes how big of a piece he is. And so it's just a fan being upset that their favorite team is going to be without their one of their players. And that was before anyone knew that everybody from the offensive line, all the starters, got sent home. So now it takes it to a whole nother level.
Well, and I totally understand that, and that's a valid point. At the same time, again, look, I haven't seen any players in the NFL. I know the Titans, there was some churn around that. But I have not seen any players in the NFL that have gone out with COVID where it was distinctly proven that it was because they broke protocol or because they were screwing around, right? So if that's the case, it's just interesting to me, because I just think that, look, COVID's a serious matter. If somebody tests positive for it, the last thing we should do, and I understand being disappointed as a fan on the eve of a huge game, but the last thing we should do is start cursing somebody, because you just don't know what happened. I mean, they could have got it from a relative. They could have got it. Who knows? But we'll see. But John Gruden did address, this is number 80. You got it? Okay. Cool. Bobby's yelling at me saying, I got it. Number 80, here's Gruden talking about the Trent Brown COVID positive.
Well, we're listening to the league, and they're advising us on what to do. Trent Brown is not here today. His status is unknown. We had to send five of our starting linemen home today because they had a tracer. I guess they were around Trent. I can't get into things any more than that, but hopefully we'll get some players back tomorrow or for Sunday.
So we heard that during the press conference as I was sitting there in the Raider facility. And then John Gruden's kind of asked, pressed again on it by our teammate Vinny Bonsignore. And this is what he follows up the talk about Brown, about being home and the fact that he was sent home under protocol. Then he drops this one.
Well, we used other linemen, obviously, and we adjusted practice. We still got a lot of work done, but you got to have linemen to play, and we'll have five on Sunday. We'll be ready to go.
So that was right after he had talked about all five linemen being sent home as a precaution. No indication that any of them have tested positive or any of that. And then we find out about Jonathan Abram. So that's where we are today. And it's a tough spot. It's really disappointing. Again, not laying blame at anybody's feet. I'm just not ready to do that. If it's proven that somebody did something wrong and went outside the protocol, then, you know, fine. That's great. But until that time, it's just an unfortunate piece for this team and for the fans of Raider Nation who are really looking forward to a big, big game, which we're going to talk about later as well in the show. Tell us what you think of all of this. 702-365-9200 is the number. Again, we have Hikaru Kudo coming up later from Sports Illustrated, as well as Greg Aumann from The Athletic, who will talk about the Patriots. But Q, man, it just seems like every time this team turns that little bit of a corner, and I know you as a longtime Raider fan and longtime lifelong Raiders fans have numerous stories like this over the last 30 years, but it just seems like they were ready. They were getting set for this big, big national game where they can finally earn some more of that respect and show people that, yeah, we can string these wins together. The Kansas City thing wasn't a fluke, and then you're hit by something that's completely out of your control.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's just one of those things, going back to what I said at the beginning of the show. Can't have nice things. You know, I mean, it's just, and I hate it, but that's just kind of how it feels, you know. And I'm a little down. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little down because it's disappointing. It's disappointing when anyone in the league pops for COVID-19 and has to miss some games, and maybe these games get pushed around and moved around. I mean, we've seen a lot of that happen so far in the season. It's disappointing for any of those guys because I want this ugly COVID-19 thing to go away. And it's just not. And I don't know if it's ever going to go away. I don't know if it's going to get better anytime soon. But it just stinks, man. And it's just really putting a bad taste in everyone's mouth. And it affects everyone. And we knew it was going to affect the Raiders at some point. It's going to hit every team. I mean, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't have a favorite team. It doesn't have favorite players. Mm-hmm. It affects everyone. So it's just the reality of this ugly monster that we're living with right now called COVID-19.
Absolutely right. In another move today, by the way, the Raiders restored wide receiver Marcel Aitman to the practice squad from the practice squad / injured list, and they released DeMornay Pearson L from the practice squad. So that was a little wide receiver swap there. And we have on the phone line, we got somebody who always wants to call it. It is Rich again in Oakland. Rich, welcome back, buddy. How you doing? There you go, Rich.
So basically, this sucks.
Yes.
It really does suck. But hopefully, it's just precautionary because I'm thinking about something, all right? Because the other day, Damon Arnett, he was put on the COVID list. And remember, guys, because you're on the COVID list doesn't mean that you necessarily have it. You could be around somebody, and it could be precautionary, right?
That is correct.
So,
We don't know for sure. That's correct.
Yeah. So what I was thinking of, okay, Damon Arnett, he was on Instagram, at the Hookah Lounge and doing all this and that, living it up, nothing wrong with that. But maybe because Trent Brown and Jonathan Abram yesterday were at the mall also, together, shopping around in Vegas, doing their thing. So what I'm thinking, maybe, who knows if it's, what's really going on. Let's hope they don't have COVID, but maybe Gruden is like, okay, guys, you guys are out doing this, not being responsible. I'm going to put you on this list just to make sure that you guys don't have COVID. You guys were at the mall. Damon Arnett was at the Hookah Lounge doing all this stuff. I'm going to put you on the list, and I'm just to make sure you don't have COVID, make sure you clear or have the negative test, and then bring you back. The whole thing with not bringing the whole O-line to practice, maybe it was just precautionary. You know what I mean? Get those guys tested. Make sure they're all negative. Hopefully Trent Brown test negative back to back to back, however how many tests he needs, and then we'll have everybody back on Sunday. Because if we don't have our whole O-line, we don't have Jonathan Abrams, it's like, man, I low-key want them to push the game back. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and thanks for the call.
I don't low-key want it. No, I want it.
Yeah, exactly. And just a couple things there, though, is yes, precautionary, but it's under the NFL protocol. They didn't have a choice. Once someone was exposed or tested positive, and again, we don't know Trent Brown if it was one or the other, but it was one of those. And if he was exposed or he was tested positive, anybody who was in close proximity to him would be sent home and basically quarantined until they can cleanly test, right? So that's right. What happened. I mean, it wasn't precautionary. And pictures at the mall, those guys might have been at the mall. I don't know. That it could have been 3-month-old picture. You just don't know what it is. And even if they were at the mall, if they're wearing their masks, if they're following the rules, who knows? But I just think that with this situation, they're going to take the time and the effort to make sure that no one spreads it. And so that's the case. And I think that if these guys all have to be quarantined until Sunday and they cannot practice, then I would imagine that the NFL, in fact, I don't have any doubts, that the NFL would delay the game at least by a day. That's if everybody tests negative when they retest them over the next several days, or they would move it to Tuesday. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, that's the best case scenario. We're going out to Gangster Raider in LA, who's ready to jump in on this conversation. Gangster Raider, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening, y'all? I think everybody needs to pump their brakes and calm down, because as of right now, no one is tested positive. You know, it's not even Trent Brown, and everybody else got sent home just because they might have been in contact with them. Worst case scenario is Trent Brown probably will be out and everybody else will be back. And we play what? 4 out of 5 games without him, we'll be fine. You know what I'm saying? And this might be a blessing in disguise, because the rest of the offensive linemen will get some run with the first team. And so, like, say if somebody does go down for any reason, any one of the linemen go down, the guy coming in will have some reps with the first team. He won't be starting from scratch. You know what I'm saying? This line, the line that we have, they played together before, so it's not like they need to gel or anything. They'll just have to be missing a couple of days of practice. And if the Tennessee Titans can go on 1 day of practice and beat the undefeated Bills with only having 1 day of practice, we should be fine. You know what I'm saying? Everybody up, worried about nothing. But worst case scenario, we'll just be without Trent Brown for the 4th time this season, and we're still going to smash Tampa Bay. And I forgot to give you my prediction. Yesterday I thought we were going to win 42-28, and I still think we're going to win 42-28. And don't get your panties in a bunch. It ain't no big deal. So if we Raiders, we do things the hard way. You know, we do everything the hard way. So this is nothing. We're going to get there. We're going to get to the game. We're going to smash them, and it's going to all be an afterthought come next Monday.
Yeah, Gangster Raider, the only thing with that, and I appreciate the call, man, thank you so much, is that if it was just, let's say Trent Brown, and we don't know, again, if he tested positive and those guys were all in close proximity to them, then the earliest they could come back is Sunday. So that means your entire offensive line, your entire offense would have no line to practice with until Sunday. So the game would have to be moved, in my view. There's no other option. And then you would be playing a game. And you know what? You could be right. They might not need a ton of preparation as far as practice goes. But I disagree. I think when you're playing a defense like that, you have to play against your defensive squad and run the schemes cue, so that when you get in the game against the Buccaneers, you kind of know what's coming. And so to not get those reps hurts no matter who you are.
I think the most important thing that, you know, I think we're probably missing is the fact that you don't want anybody to be not infected, but just have to deal with this COVID-19 thing. Yes. I mean, it's like bigger than just the game. I mean, that's why I'm really bummed out, is because it's affecting the Raiders. And I just don't like the players to have to deal with this. And again, we know that it's something that, you know, every team is going to have to deal with. And Tennessee, like Gangster Raider said, had to deal with it. And, you know, Kansas City, the Patriots, I mean, all kind of teams. And there's going to be multiple teams throughout the course of the season that are going to have to deal with it. So that's, first of all, that's the biggest thing. It's not about anyone's panties being in a bunch or anything. The other thing is the fact that you want to go out there and play with your best players. You know, you want all your guys to be out there that are possible to be out there. That's the big deal. It's not that you can do it without them. You just want to have him there.
No, and you saw what the Raiders were able to do with Trent Brown, where he's supposed to be, which is at that right tackle position. All right, we're going to take one more call before the break. 502 Raider D's back with us. What's happening on this Wednesday, my man?
How you guys doing today, man?
All right, everybody's a little down with the news, you know, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, it's true. I mean, but realistically, man, this is, you know, for me, I'm not worried at all. Because I mean, you got to think. With this thing going on, it was bound to happen. You know, the only place that they had, you know, taken care of where people didn't get sick was when they were in the bubble, like the NBA did. They were in the bubble in hotels, and you couldn't go out. People are going to, I mean, if people are going to go out in public and go shopping, I mean, right now they're set up to where you, everything you can do it online and have people deliver it to you. If people are going to take the chance and go out, it's bound to happen. I mean, we got protocols set up to take care of it. I'm not bummed because I knew that you get young guys with money or older guys with money, and they just, and they're reckless and irresponsible. It's going to happen, man. Luckily, hopefully they caught everything and they're just being precautionary. But if somebody did catch it, hopefully nobody around the team was around it, man. I'm concentrating on this game. Whoever we got playing, the water boy, the coaching staff, whoever needs to play, whatever we need to do to win this game, that's all I care about. Everything else, man, is a gamble, what's going on right now. But I just wanted to call and let you guys know. This is my first time hearing about it. I've been out running the streets, getting stuff together for my house, and I just turned on the show and was like, what in the hell just happened? So, you know, good luck to the guys, to the team, and everybody stay safe. It's real out there, man.
It is.
You got to be good.
502 Raider D, thanks, man. We appreciate the call. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll carry on with your phone calls, 702-365-9200. The news today about the entire offensive line of the Raiders being sent home as a precaution after Trent Brown was put on the COVID list. We don't know if he's positive or if he was exposed. We'll find out more, I'm sure, in the coming days. But lots of question marks. Also coming up after the break, Hikaru Kudo will be with us from Sports Illustrated. We'll talk to him about what happened today and also about why he says the game against the Buccaneers is much more than just one big game. You're listening to Q and Scott here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Whoever's out there, that's who's out there. Nobody cares about this or that. They just see the win-loss, and that's all that matters in this business. So, with that said, we came in with the mindset today. You're like, oh, dang, you feel bad for those guys. You know, you feel for them, you pray for them, make sure they're okay, make sure their families are okay, all those kind of things. But at the same time, we have a job to do while we're here. So you have to compartmentalize a little bit. You have to separate the two once you step on the field. And, hey, we have to act like this is game day. We have to act like this is the group we're rolling out with, so get ready to play. And that's just the mindset, the culture that we have here, the mindset we've taken on. It ranks number one in the weirdest things, and y'all know we've seen a lot of weird things around here in my 7 years, but this is definitely up there with some of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Freshly, there's my man. Little Van Halen bringing us back in on this Wednesday. Silver and Black today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys. Visit them at salmonash.com. Derek Carr there talking about having none of his starting linemen there today. Because if you haven't heard the news, of course, Trent Brown sent to the COVID list, and the entire offensive line plus Jonathan Abram sent home as a precaution due to the same reason and exposure. So we'll see where that goes. We're going right back on the phones. Go ahead, Q.
Did you see or hear who the starting linemen were in practice today?
I did not see it yet.
Right to left, Sam Young, mm-hmm. Patrick Omamahe, mm-hmm. whatever, I get his name wrong all the time, Andre James, John Simpson, and Brandon Parker.
There you go.
That's a recipe for disaster.
But as Carr said there in the clip, bringing us back in, buddy, it's like you got to play with who you got. I'm not disagreeing with you that it's a disaster. But
so if Michael Jordan and LeBron James show up at the court and I have me and you, hey, we just got to play with what we got.
That's right.
No, we're losing.
Well, you'd have to pay me.
That's a disaster offensive line. I'm not saying that's who's going to play on Sunday if they're going to play, but that would be a disaster. I would have confidence in Sam Young and John Simpson, maybe Andre James. Yes. Everybody else? Especially Brandon Parker, no.
No, and I'm sure they're looking on the street, too, in case they got to sign a couple guys. We're going right back on the phones, and we're bringing in our buddy, our good friend, El Paso Raider. How you feeling today, man, with this news?
Hey, man, how's it going? You know, I was feeling pretty good, man, until I heard this. You know, I actually went on JT the Brick today, finally got to talk to him, but it was about, you know, about the game. You know, I felt pretty good. I felt like the Bucs have not played nobody, like, pretty much in the category that we have. You know, the Packers is one of the best teams they played, and yeah, they did a good job with them, but I think they caught them off guard. You know, the offense that they played, it's the Bears, the Denver and all, they're in the top 20s, like 28 in offense. You know, we're down there in the top 10. But then I hear this news, it's like, oh well, here we go. You know, it's like it's like what Q was saying. You know, we can't have something nice. You know, it always happens to the Raiders. You know, we look like we just turned the corner, and then something just happens. Boom, it hits us right back in our face, you know. And to me, I'm not going to panic much. You know, I understand it's a crazy year, you know, COVID. But what does angry me is that these guys get paid millions of dollars to take care of themselves, to have maturity, to think different. You know, I'm over here making peanuts compared to them, and I'm following all protocols just to stay safe, keep my coworkers safe and my family safe. You know, that I don't know why they don't have that mentality. All they got to do is go get through the season, do whatever you want. But right now is not the time, because this COVID thing is not going away. And to do this and put everybody else in danger, your coaches, your teammates, and all that, it's just irresponsible for me. You know, you get paid millions of dollars to go home, watch tape, get better, work out, and do what you got to do to make this team win.
Yeah, Apostle Raider, thanks, man. I appreciate it. At the same time, though, again, I feel like I'm the player defender today, and that's not a position I'm usually in, but we just don't know. Again, it could have been a trainer, right?
It could have been anything.
It could have been somebody's mom or dad who's staying with him in Vegas, and they went to the grocery store and got it and then brought it back. You just don't know, and that's the scary thing about pandemics and viruses like this is, as you said it so perfectly, Q, earlier, it doesn't know color, it doesn't know age, it doesn't know profession, okay? It just tries to find a host, and unfortunately sometimes it does that with these guys too. All right, we're going out to Steven, our good buddy in New Orleans. Steven, what's going on this Wednesday, man?
Hey, guys, just trying to read a little bit of the tea leaves. So I'm going to assume that Trent tested positive.
Okay.
Because I think that's the only reason they sent home the whole entire offensive line and Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since they did not put them on the COVID list, I'm assuming they haven't tested positive yet.
Correct.
So you keep talking about Sunday. If they test negative tomorrow morning and they don't have a fever, can they come back to practice? What are the hard, strict rules? So I don't know. I mean, I'm asking Scott.
Yeah, no. The way I read it, and the NFL diagram that they put out at the beginning of training camp, which explains all this, is as clear as mud. But when you poke through it, and we were sitting in the media room at the Raiders facility today at practice, and we were all kind of testing each other on it, right? The way that I read it, and I believe this is true, and we've asked for confirmation, but I'm 90% sure this is where it is it would have to be, if you were around somebody who tested positive yesterday, which is, we'll assume, let's say Trent Brown tested positive yesterday, then you have to go 3 straight days of a test plus 2. So then that's 5 days. 5 days puts you at
so 5 tests or 3 tests over a 5-day period?
3 tests.
3 tests over a 5-day period, okay? And that puts you on Sunday. So,
man, that's crazy.
Right. So that tells me, and again, we'll get some clarification as the night goes on, and we bring Vinny on later, because Vinny's working his butt off right now for the paper reporting on this. So we'll get him towards the end of the show. But
I can tell you how crazy it is. I'm not trying to interrupt you.
Oh, yeah.
I know for a fact there's nurses in my family that work at hospitals that they work with coworkers that get COVID, and unless they test positive or they have a fever, they just keep working, baby, because you can't shut the hospitals down.
Right.
You can't shut Walmart down.
Right.
So I understand the NFL is trying to be super careful, but how do we know Trent didn't get it from, well, okay, the Chiefs game is a week away, but you don't know. They had a couple players out. Trent could have got it from a Chiefs player from 7 days ago, because we know the incubation period's long enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but in theory, the whole team could blow up like it happened to Tennessee. You know what I mean?
Right.
It could, exactly. and that's why they did the right things. And, Steven, thanks so much, my man. We appreciate it. But I think that's the issue, right, is –
that's the big concern.
Yes, and that's why they sent those guys home immediately. And even if they all test negative for those 3 tests over the next 5 days, until somebody tells me differently, because, again, we've had some good minds look through this, and the NFL will be clear on it, and I'm sure the Raiders will have a statement later, that means they can't practice, they can't do anything. They can't leave their house, basically, until Sunday, which means there's no way you're playing this game on Sunday. Unless something changes today, I'm pretty sure that's the case. So I think they're going to move the game Q to Monday or Tuesday, maybe even Thursday. Who knows? But there's going to be some changes for sure.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, that's best case scenario for the Raiders. If you're just looking at it from a game point of view, I'd much rather them go in with all their all their bullets in the chambers than all of a sudden go in there with a makeshift offensive line because, well, you got to play with who you got. Yeah. They made exceptions for other teams, Tennessee, Carolina, the Patriots, also the Chiefs. You know, they made a lot of different moves and shaking for other teams.
Yep.
Why not make those moves for the Raiders as well?
Now, the tough thing with the Raiders is they've already had their bye. So teams that didn't have their bye, we saw that happen, right, where they could basically say, okay, your bye instead of being week 12 is now week 6.
Right. The Raiders, well, that's why they move it to a Monday or Tuesday.
Correct. Exactly. So you could have another Monday night doubleheader. If those guys Perfect. Can't be on the field until Sunday, then that means to me, I think they'll actually move it to Tuesday, but we'll see. All right. We're going on our newsmaker line, and we're bringing in Hikaru Kudo, who is a writer for Sports Illustrated's Raider Maven. And Hikaru, we were going to talk about why this is such a big game, and it still is a big game for the Raiders as they host the Buccaneers one night soon. But now with this news today, let me get your reaction. I mean, the Raiders really don't know who they're going to be able to play or when they're going to play.
You're right, Scott. And first off, good afternoon to both of y'all. And I've been listening to you guys, you know, for the first half an hour of the show. But, you know, I agree with Q. I mean, you cannot play this game without the starting offensive line, period. I mean, Gruden is a guy who will do it, and Carr will, you know, do whatever Gruden tells him to do. But, you know, Trent Brown, when I saw this today, that he was placed on the COVID-19 reserve list, I'm like, oh, okay, it's too close to game day. The game has to be pushed back, period. It's just, you know, you hear this, and, you know, and even talking to the callers, you know, and as well as I've been on Twitter as well, and, you know, people are saying, you know, oh, what's happened and whatever, yada, yada, making speculations. And like you said, Scott, we don't know the facts. Until we know the facts, I mean, for all we know, it's just maybe a precautionary measure. But either way, it's a huge blow for the Raiders right now. And we're in a situation where we're, you know, Raider Nation is treading water in the summit.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. And so that's where my mind is at. But, you know, like you said, the Raiders are in an opportunity right now. They have this game coming up with Tampa Bay, coming off that big win, and then obviously their bye week, you know, after winning against Kansas City. I mean, just they have an opportunity to make a statement, you know, and let the league know that they are for real and it wasn't a fluke. And now all of a sudden this hits them, and who knows how teams even bounce back from stuff like this.
And that's the thing. And the biggest thing for me is it's Trent Brown. We saw Trent Brown and the impact he had on the field against the Chiefs. It's a fact. One of the major reasons why the Raiders won is because of that. Derek Carr threw for 347 yards. And yes, granted, he had an over 300, you know, passing game earlier this season, but a lot of it was Brown. And then the defense kind of got rejuvenated in that way. And when you lose someone you just got back, it's tough. You know, it's tough. And exactly, you're right. I mean, this game is an opportunity for the Raiders to prove themselves to the nation that, hey, we're here to play. We're back. We're good. We're going to go 4-2. We're going to beat Tom Brady and the team that basically destroyed the Packers last week. And now we're, you know, in this limbo right now that no one really knows what's going on. So it's a tough situation.
Hikaru Kudo joins us. He's a writer with Sports Illustrated's Raider Maven website. You can check them out at SI.com. And Hikaru, when you look at this game, you had said in your piece this week that you looked at this as a must-win game because, as Q said yesterday, and we've been saying this week, about momentum. They came out of the bye week, out of the Chiefs win. They're ready to go. Now you have another huge distraction. Whoever and whenever you get a chance to play the Buccaneers, talk a little bit about that and what the Raiders really need to kind of do in order to show that they are indeed really contenders and not pretenders.
It's the establishment of the defensive line, and period. And we saw this in the second half of the Chiefs game. When the defensive line is strong enough, when you can pressure, you know, someone like Patrick Mahomes, right? Now, granted, give credit to Mahomes on what he did. He was able to escape out of the pocket. And that's the reason why he got most of his throws down. Patrick Mahomes is something else. He was on the Super Bowl last year. They won the Super Bowl. I mean, you got to give credit for the talent he has. But we know that Tom Brady is a pocket passer. That is a fact. So if you can collapse Brady's protection around him, I think that's the way you win, because you have a solid secondary, and I mean, in the piece I also talked about how Corey Littleton has been lacking in performance, but Nick Kwiatkowski's been doing phenomenal things on the field pretty much since he joined and kind of figured out the system in the first couple of weeks. So, honestly, the defense has to be at par to play, but that's why I'm saying this is a must-win game, because the momentum, as both of you mentioned, has to move forward. And in order for the momentum to move forward, it starts with the defense. And then once the defense does, then the offense can actually score points, and they're meaningful. Because the defense doesn't go on the field, and all of a sudden, 2 minutes later, you lose those 7 points. It's meaningful at that point when the defense can actually get a three and out, or, you know, play in the field for a few minutes and actually stop the defense, stop the opponent's offense, excuse me. So, to me, this is a must win. It is a, you have to push the momentum. Let's get over the hump. We beat the Chiefs. We beat the rivals. Let's get over the hump and get on that positive momentum for the rest of the season after the bye week. And especially because it's after the bye week. You had the week off. You can't be losing after the bye week. It's just a fact.
Well, they've done it a lot. They've lost a lot after the bye week. I'll tell you that right now. But let me ask you this. Let's talk about that offense that you mentioned. They opened things up in a major way. John Gruden called some shots. Derek Carr took some shots. I think a lot of Raider Nation was happy with the performance that they saw from the offense. Do you think that's something that you'll see moving forward? As long as you have healthy guys out there, Henry Ruggs, you know, whoever's out there as far as wide receivers and weapons, offensive line intact, do you think you'll see more of that approach moving forward? Or do you think you'll get back to seeing a lot of the dump-offs and the quick passes and trying to just establish the run game and sticking with that?
I personally think you're going to see long balls more. I mean, you saw Henry Ruggs come back, and I mean, he had two receptions for a total of 118 yards. You know, with one of them being the 72-yard long one for 6 points. And then I want to mention for a second here how Gruden got fullback Alec Ingold involved. Let's talk about that for a second. Two receptions for 25 yards. I mean, Alec Ingold, that's, you know, he was wide open because no one expected someone to, oh, Ingold's another marker down there, and all of a sudden Carr throws to Ingold, and he gets a couple easy first downs going through. So I think, not only is Gruden going to throw the ball down the field and have Carr do so, because Carr's good at that, and he's talented at doing so. When he has protection for the pocket, he has time to do that. But at the same time, I talk about this every single week in all my pieces. Josh Jacobs is the man that gets his offensive rolling. Once you have that rushing, the ground game established, now Carr has so many options. Why settle for the screen pass when you could go all the way down the field? That's my thing. And then once it's down the field covered, now everyone's going to be pushing back, and there's going to be a little open pocket sent through. That's where you kind of work your way around with your running back, which, you know, Josh Jacobs, we saw how Devonta Booker can do on the field, and Jalen Richard. That's what Jalen Richard, I mean, he might play only for a couple plays, but, I mean, whenever he does, he makes a big impact for the Raiders.
Hey, Kyra, when you talk about Josh Jacobs, I think this week it's very an unusual situation, too, because, you know, yes, there's been a lot of talk about the Buccaneers defense and how good it is. But really where it is very, very good is against the run. It's allowed the lowest rushing yards per game in the NFL. Might there be a little bit of a flip-flop here where the Raiders need to have them respect their pass game a little bit so that you can open up the run?
I mean, that's a good question, and you're right. I mean, that's something I've been pondering about and looking into as well. But I think you kind of give it a shot with Josh Jacobs first, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. Gruden has done it every single game this season so far. So why not give it a shot to Josh Jacobs? If you're stuffed up, then you kind of go to the pass game. And, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not respecting, you know, Derek Carr's pass game or anything. Like I said, he's throwing 200, 300-plus yards per game. So, I mean, you know, Carr's on top of his game right now. But I'm still saying stick with the game plan, do the same thing, and then if that doesn't work, roll through. I mean, again, it really does depend. Again, I want to go back. It really does depend, though, if the defense can stay solidified, because if your defense is kind of crumbling with Tom Brady, you know, on the other side, then you're right, Scott. You're going to have to kind of, you know, almost rely on the pass and, you know, kind of switch it up for the first time this season. But otherwise, I say go with Josh Jacobs because, I mean, this guy's tough. He can slip through tackles, and we've seen him break multiple tackles throughout this season. So I say go with Josh Jacobs. See what you can do on the ground game first for a drive, and then kind of go from there and, you know, figure out what you need to do on the field to win the game.
You're not going to get pumped up and fired up about this game, are you?
I mean, you know,
Connor's ready, man.
You know,
he's ready.
Hope, you know what? I hope that, you know, as much as, you know, we can hope they're going to play on Sunday, I think I'm with both of y'all. NFL's going to have to postpone this game. I mean, it's just not realistic, you know, the situation for the game to go on Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. Make sure you check out Hikaru Kudo on SportsIllustrated.com's Raider Maven website. Hikaru, we'll have you on again real soon, my friend. You take care now.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. There you go. Yeah,
that was the bolt of energy I needed.
He was awesome, man. He's
I like, know. My man's fired up. So I said I could appreciate that. From a guy who gets fired up like I do, could definitely appreciate that.
We're going on down to my old haunts. Del Mar in North San Diego County.
Boo. No kidding.
Raider Bear. Go get me a board and brew sandwich, brother, and bring it to me.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I just want to go ahead and say I just appreciate you both so much. I started watching this show and listening to this podcast for about 2 months now, and it's just been a favorite of mine on my lunch break. I appreciate you both, you, Scott, and Q. You guys are just really good journalists. That being said, I just want to say that I just was doing some research last night and kind of observing. I know it's not good to dwell on the past, but it is good just to kind of learn from the past and learn from the mistakes. And I was just doing some research on the 2002 season, and I went back to a few of the losses that the Raiders suffered that season. And I have to say that some of those losses look kind of similar to what the team is going through now. Mm. And if I would advise anybody out there listening, is that I think we shouldn't give up on the team. I don't think we should be giving up on Derek yet. I just feel like a lot of the losses that they took then in 2002 look really similar to now. And it's basically pretty much the same strategy. It was we struggled against the opposing teams as a pass rush. And therefore, I feel like, you know, we've seen at times when the offensive line that we have now is great when together. When it's missing its pieces, we do struggle at times. And I just feel like it just became a little bit more apparent after last week's victory that I think Derek Carr is a solid QB for us, and we should definitely not give up on the team at all. And if I could just say one last thing, I just want to say that I appreciate the whole conversation with the whole Pop-Tarts thing. I just want to say, I think Q, you're tripping, dog, okay? Pop-Tarts are a favorite of mine, and every time I sit down and watch some of my favorite Raider games from the past, Pop-Tarts are definitely my go-to snack, always. And they don't have to be toasted either, by the way.
There you go.
You can eat them either or. You can just eat them straight out of the wrapper.
There you go. Prison
dog. Come on, man.
Okay, Raider Bear, make sure you stop by my favorite places down there, man. I miss the ocean, that's for sure. Take care, brother. All right, there you go, Raider Bear. Good call. We're going to step
so
aside.
So he watches the Raider games and eats Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, and the
if
ocean.
If that's not the biggest 12-year-old kid act I've ever heard in my life.
Man.
I could appreciate the feelings, and I could appreciate his, you know, his take on that.
Yeah.
That's cool. To each their own. But if that's not the biggest 12-year-old act I've ever seen, that is it.
And who would have thought that a discussion around Pop-Tarts would go into its second week?
I'm telling you, I never knew there were so many people that would cut for Pop-Tarts like that. It's like I cursed someone's mother or something. Everyone's coming after me. I love it, but it's great.
All I have to say is you're welcome, Raider Nation. All right, we're stepping aside for a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls before the top of the hour. We'll hear a little more from Coach John Gruden. You're listening to Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys, only on Raider Nation Radio.
Code JT Breck.
I mean, it's obvious. I mean, we don't have Trent today. We don't have any of our linemen today. So how happy am I? I'm not happy. I'm concerned. I'm really more concerned about Trent, his health, than anything. You know, this is COVID, and I am concerned about anybody that has it or is near it.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
I know a thing or two about her. All right, sorry. Little Kiss bringing us back in. Bobby's got the... There you go. Thank you, Paul Stanley, for the backup vocals there. You're back on Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio Day, where we heard that the entire offensive line of the Raiders was sent home as a precaution because Trent Brown has either tested positive or was around someone who tested positive for COVID-19. We're going to get a caller in here as we got a few minutes before the top of the hour queue, and we bring in one of our all-star callers, and that, of course, is Fabian, on with Q and Scott on this Wednesday. Give us your take on what's happening news-wise on this Wednesday.
Yeah, like everyone else, a little surprised about what's going on. But, you know, as long as we keep going back to our mantra, put your big boy pants on and do your job. I want to step into the Wayback Machine. You guys might be a little bit too young to remember September 15th, 2002, when the Raiders played the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich Gannon threw for over 400 yards in that game. And there was, like, almost no rushing, but there was some rushing because Kirby and Charlie Garner did get some yards. But they beat Pittsburgh, and they literally passed the ball the entire game. You know, Derek, if he gets a line, I can give him the 2 seconds to get the ball off. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, and I think, Fabian, look, if they can – Trent Brown, we don't know what's going to happen there. And like Coach Gruden said coming back in from the break, hopefully he's going to be fine, healthy. And if he did test positive, then hopefully he's asymptomatic and he gets well really, really soon. But I think that with those guys out, with the entire offensive line sent home today, I think the Raiders will be back on a different day. I don't think it'll be Sunday. It'll be Monday or Tuesday, and they'll have those guys back. So, yeah, you'll be a man down again, but that doesn't mean that they still can't go out and win that game against Tampa Bay, Q.
No, not at all. I mean, they've shown that they can do it. It's not ideal, but they've shown that they can do it. And I just kind of wanted to update you real quick from Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network. He said, even if the Raiders linemen isolated after close contact with right tackle Trent Brown are deemed high risk, they could be cleared to play Sunday versus the Bucs. Last exposure was Monday. Players were off Tuesday, so mandatory 5-day isolation would be over in time to get the game on Sunday. So there's a possibility, depending on how things shake out, like you mentioned at the top of the show, they actually could play on Sunday.
They could, and that's good news. I forgot about the Tuesday day off. So if the positive test, it would have been Monday, not on Tuesday, not yesterday. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So good. So there, see, Q with a glimmer of hope. I love that. Fabian, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you as always. But when we come back, we're going to get to the top of the hour, Q, here. And it's a good way to end the hour with some kind of positive news, right? I mean.
Yeah, positive has been the problem today.
Yes, it has been.
Today's the day we want negative news in a positive manner.
That's right. So we got that good news. But we're going to, when we come back, we're going to start to look at the Buccaneers. By the way, every once in a while we do these previews, and I get people saying, I don't want to hear about the team that they're playing. I want to hear about them. And I'm like, really? It's a very interesting take. I don't know if you ever get that on the podcast. But
all the time.
Do you really? Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, so that's like, I just want to hear about my own team, and I'd rather hear you guys talk about the same thing over and over again than actually hear about what it is we're facing so I can pay attention to how my team plays. Very interesting take. Everybody has each to their own.
Some people like grape Kool-Aid. Some people like red. People don't like Kool-Aid at all.
That's correct. Well, if you're over 12, you can't like Kool-Aid.
Hey, look now. Now, Kool-Aid's a different ballgame, brother. That's a whole nother conversation.
So why can't you sit down and have a Pop-Tart and Kool-Aid?
Because that's a lot of sugar.
That's true. Yeah.
That's a lot of sugar,
you're talking
dude.
About sugar coma, man. That would be horrendous.
Exactly. I'm not built like that.
Yeah,
I don't even like drinks that have too much sugar in them. You know what I mean?
Either.
Like mixed drinks?
Yeah.
Just doesn't do your body right.
No, it makes you feel
like crap. Mix it with water.
As you get older, too, it gets worse. It makes you feel like crap. As you get older, you can't burn it up. But anyway.
Exactly.
When we come back from the top of the hour break, we're going to be joined by a great writer, Greg Aumann, from The Athletic, NFL, Tampa Bay. He's down there. He covers the Buccaneers. We'll get an overall look at the Buccaneers. We'll ask about Tom Brady, his comfort level, his adjustment period there, and we'll ask about that defense as well. You're listening to Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.